Hello, and welcome back to the Panic Attack Recovery Podcast. I want to say something right at the start. I'm back. After a period away, I'm returning to this podcast with new episodes, new energy, and a genuine commitment to showing up for this community again. If you've been a subscriber for a while, thank you for not giving up on this feed. The fact that you're still here is not something I take lightly. And if you're brand new, welcome. You found this at exactly the right time, because we're just getting started again. Today's episode is a little different from what I've done before. Instead of diving straight into a technique or a study, I want to reflect. I want to share what I've learned from years of running this site and this podcast, and from the thousands of people who've quietly found their way here. Because honestly, you've taught me as much as I've taught you. Let's get into it. I want to be honest about why I'm back. Life got busy, as it does for all of us. And somewhere along the way, this podcast, which started from such a genuine place, got set aside. But recently I took a fresh look at what was happening here quietly in the background. The numbers of people still visiting, still listening, still downloading episodes recorded years ago, and the feedback I'd received over the years from people who said this helped them. And I felt it in my heart. I needed to come back. Not because of any grand plan, not because of a business strategy, but because I started this to help people. That was always the reason, and the evidence tells me clearly that there are still people who need this. So here I am. I want to start with something that genuinely stopped me in my tracks recently. This site, which I'll be honest, I hadn't given as much attention as it deserved for a while, is still receiving around 20,000 visitors every month. And the podcast feed, the audio recordings, are being downloaded well over 100,000 times a month, without new episodes, without social media promotion, without any active effort on my part. Now I don't share that to boast. I share it because of what it means. That number represents real people, people who are struggling with anxiety, panic attacks, agoraphobia, ADHD, quietly finding their way here and listening, at all hours, in all circumstances. Probably some of them right now, lying in bed at 3 a.m. I know that feeling. I've been there. Here's one of the most interesting things I noticed. The audio, the podcasts, always outperformed everything else. The videos, the written articles, the newsletter. Nothing came close to audio. And I've thought a lot about why. I think it's because of the nature of anxiety itself. When you're anxious, reading is hard. Your eyes move across the page, but your mind is somewhere else entirely. Watching a video requires you to sit still and focus, which is exactly what anxiety makes impossible. But audio? Audio you can listen to with your eyes closed, lying down, walking, in the dark. It meets you exactly where you are, and where anxiety sufferers often are, is somewhere they can't easily read or watch, but they can listen. Over the years, I've received hundreds of questions from listeners and visitors, and what struck me, what still strikes me, is how consistent they are. Different people, different countries, different ages, different circumstances, but the same fears. Am I going crazy? Will this ever end? Why can't I just calm down? Is there something fundamentally wrong with me? If you've asked yourself any of those questions, you are not alone, not even close. Those are the questions of millions of people who are experiencing exactly what you're experiencing. And the answer to all of them, by the way, is no, yes, because of how anxiety works, and absolutely not. One thing that surprised me early on, and still surprises people, is the connection between anxiety and ADHD. When I started talking about both together, people pushed back. They were separate things, they said. Different conditions, different treatments. But what I kept hearing from listeners was, yes, both, at the same time. And nobody was talking about that intersection, the restless mind that can't switch off, the sensitivity to everything, the tendency to feel things more intensely than other people seem to. These aren't weaknesses. They're actually the same characteristics that channel differently become creativity, empathy, and genuine insight. That reframe from liability to asset is one of the things I'm most glad I talked about early on. Here's what the evidence of all those years taught me about what actually works. It's not one thing. It's never one thing. The people who recover, genuinely recover, not just cope, are the ones who build a collection of small practices and stick with them. Breathing exercises that seem too simple to matter. Walking, which seems too obvious to mention, challenging the thoughts that feel like facts, addressing the physical stuff, sleep, diet, hydration, that seems unrelated but isn't. None of these is a miracle on its own. All of them together, done consistently, create something that looks a lot like recovery. And the other thing, not fighting it. The single most counterintuitive piece of advice I ever shared, stop resisting the anxiety, stop fighting it, let it be there, is also the one that I've heard back from more people as genuinely transformative than almost anything else. What you resist persists. Carl Jung said that. He was right. I want to say something directly to anyone who is in the thick of it right now. Recovery can feel impossibly distant when you're struggling, when every day feels like a battle just to get through, when you can't imagine feeling normal again, whatever normal even means. I've been there. I know what it's like to wonder if this is just how life is going to be from now on. So let me tell you what. You just have to get through today. That's it. One day. Sometimes 1 hour, sometimes just the next 10 minutes. That's enough. That's the whole job. Recovery doesn't arrive all at once like a switch being flipped. It comes in small increments that you often don't even notice while they're happening. A day that was slightly less hard than the one before. A moment of genuine calm that lasted a little longer. A thought that used to spiral into panic that you caught just a little earlier this time. These things are happening even when it doesn't feel like they are. And please, don't give up hope. I cannot stress this enough. The people who recover are not necessarily the ones with milder anxiety or better circumstances or more support. They are the ones who kept going, who didn't give up on themselves even when it felt hopeless, who took it one day at a time and trusted that the small steps were adding up to something. They are. I am living proof that recovery is possible. The many people who have written to me over the years are proof. The research is proof. You are not broken. You are not beyond help. You are not too far gone. You are someone going through something genuinely difficult, who deserves support, and who is absolutely capable of coming through it. One day at a time, don't give up. Thank you for being here. Whether you've been listening since 2009, or you found this 5 minutes ago, I'm glad you're here. There's more to come. Take care of yourself today, and I'll speak to you again very soon.